not the love that I'm running from. It's one of Obama's drones. Cause I know hellfire missiles are no good for me. They're no good because they will blow up at me. Everywhere I go, police states I see, and every step I take, I get traced on Facebook. Yeah, nowhere to run, nowhere to hide,
etc.
Scramble the drones.
Yeah. I want to kind of also be like the Weird Al Yankovic of the truth movement, you know, like make heaps of spoof songs about stuff. It's hilarious.
I'm telling you, man, we got to do a variety comedy conspiracy theory show, man. It's never been done.
Is that not what this is?
Yeah, and everybody loves it. Look on the chat. They're all like, you guys are awesome. We, you know, I try to tell our illustrious leader here at AFR, I'm like, hey, man, I pitched him the idea. He's listening right now, too. The chat room speaks for... Hey, everybody, sound out. Wouldn't you want to see some Vinny Eastwood, Freighter X, variety comedy, conspiracy theory show? I think they would. Even throw a little Mater X, too. We could bring her in on the... You know what I mean? Because we all... Remember we hung out on my show? It was great. It's a great show. Guys, go check it out in the archives. AFR archives of the Middle Chamber with Vinny Eastwood. Just what? Like 2 or 3 months ago he came on. It was awesome.
Yeah.
It was hilarious. Also, it was hilarity.
I've got the elements there, and I think it's because I don't know what it is, but we've seen some of the darkest stuff happen, and we've been through some of the most annoying crap ever, and yet we've somehow managed to find ways to daily de-stress and keep it lighter-hearted and what have you. It's mostly because I think that we recognize the importance of the duality of it. If you are going to stick your head into the belly of the beast and whatever, carry a torch in your mouth so you can see what the hell's going on.
Exactly. You know?
And that's what comedy is, man. It is a light in dark places, no different from the light of Elendil off frickin' Lord of the Rings.
Let's put it this way, man. All of the best comics out there, all of our favorite comics, all have freaking dark pasts, man. Every one of them went through, like, the dark night of the soul on the way up, you know what I mean, to become the greatest comics. Make everybody laugh hilariously, and yet they are, in fact, from, like, damaged homes and all this crazy stuff.
Yep. Say, Bill Hicks, for instance, he had really harsh Christian parents, and he brings but the thing is, the harsher your lifestyle is or whatever, the more hard you have to work in order to make it bearable kind of thing. And he made it bearable by just saying things for the hypocritical stupidity that it has. Like, he was working at a pizza joint once, and there was no customers, everything was clean, there was nothing to do. So he was just standing there. Boss comes up to him and says, why ain't you working? And he said, oh, because we don't have any customers, and there's nothing to do. And he says, well, you pretend like you're working. He says, well, you're the manager, you're getting paid more, why don't you pretend I'm working?
Exactly. That's it, man. Totally. I love that part. I love the fact that we have Bill Hicks on our network between our, you know, in the middle of the commercial breaks. That's awesome. I can't think of a better person to represent. He seriously was integral in waking me up, man. I heard his words on the Tool album. I was like, who is that guy? I heard him in the background of those songs. And then I started investigating, and a friend of mine sat me down. He had all the DVDs, and he said, you just sit here and listen to this. I can't believe you haven't even heard this yet, he said. This was in, like, I don't know, it may have been 2005, 2004 was, like, when I really, really heard everything he had, and I was just blown away.
Yeah. I remember when I was a student in Dunedin, one of my flatmate introduced me to Bill Hicks and also introduced me to marijuana. And the kind of two sort of did go together, sort of thing. And that's kind of how I became an activist to a large degree, is because I sort of became involved with the legalized cannabis community down there, and also got arrested for it. So, again, it's interesting that if you want to do something right in this world, you have to have a lot of wrong, done to you in order. It's almost like a pendulum swinging, you know, in order to do a whole lot of right, a whole lot of bad has to be done to you kind of thing. Do you know it? Or you have to be in direct opposition to a whole lot of bad stuff? Something of that nature? I'm not sure. I want to escape duality. I want to escape having to. I want to escape being an adversary of something. I want to escape this world in many, many ways, but I want to stay here in so many others. Like, I love the idea of being able to go around, freely associate, interact with people and whatever, but I don't like the idea of being deliberately poisoned, lied to, or having any of my freedoms or stuff stolen off me, you know?
Totally. I'm right with you, brother.
Creating a new society is something that so many people over history have really, really tried quite hard to do. Nobody has ever been able to do it by themselves. They've always needed huge amounts of support. And I think that we're hamstringed by the fact that we simply we have a great idea of, or maybe some ideas of how to improve the world around us. And yet we cannot accomplish it entirely on our own, and we need others to be involved, perhaps more than they currently are, in order to accomplish our goals. And I think it's maybe for the first time in history now, with the availability widespread of the internet, that it actually now becomes possible to garner enough support, to instill enough knowledge, to create a society that is capable of seeing tyranny for what it is and invoking the eternal vigilance that perhaps the founding fathers originally called for. And I remember the late Bob Chapman, he told me once, I asked him, has there ever been a point in history where tyranny or scumbaggery has ever been kind of eradicated, where it's disappeared for any period of time? And he said, no, it's a perennial problem. And the problem I see is that throughout history, it's only been a very, very small amount of people, okay, who have actually understood the issues and led other people, okay. Through limited understanding, you can still accomplish a whole lot if you're at least following somebody who does know what they're talking about, you know what I mean? But the problem is, once that person dies of old age or whatever, if that knowledge has not been passed down and instilled in everybody who once followed that movement, the reason why that movement started, the reason why it has to continue, and its values, and indeed the truth of anything about it, gets lost and often becomes a victim of history rewriting scumbags, right?
Vinny, so, listen, I'll tell you what you're saying. You're bringing it right back around to literacy, right back around to critical thinking. That's what we're talking about. People cannot discern the lies that they are being shoveled in, like friggin' cotton candy or popcorn or some outrageous pork rind or whatever, man. Light beer from Miller. It is unbelievable. People have been completely conditioned to view reality with blinders on. They no longer have the ability to discern lie from fact. And that is something, I mean, you don't have to go down the road of the trivium if you don't want to be like the logical Nazi or whatever, all that. You can just, basically, everyone just needs to cultivate a sense of confidence in their own intuition, in their own ability to discern the lies that are being fed to them everywhere, wholesale, everywhere you look.
And it's something that can be taught. It's sort of like an experience thing. Like, let's say, for instance, you suddenly realize that the person across from you is a sociopathic, lying, criminal scumbag. You wouldn't know what that is unless you'd been shafted by one in the past, kind of thing. Sort of like if you're in a relationship with a woman who is, I don't know, really emotionally damaged or something like that, like in her past or sexually abused or something like that, and has an inability to control her emotions, maybe going insane or something. Like, I once had a Japanese girlfriend. I woke up in the middle of the night one time and she was kind of asleep, clawing at the wallpaper saying, please don't kill me, please don't kill me. You know, I've seen this kind of real crazy stuff in my life across different spectrums of entirely different people from different cultures and all over the place. And I've just determined the one immutable fact: we're all fracked in some way, shape, or form. And the only way that we're capable of getting through it is if we surround ourselves with other people who not only get the fact that we're all a little bit fracked up or whatever, but don't care and just go, you know what, I know you're damaged goods or whatever, but I don't really care, man. As long as you're not doing any damage or any stuff like that, you can do what you like.
I'll tell you, in the immortal words of Jesse Jackson, the you know, the pundit over here in America, he was right there with MLK when he got shot. You know what he says? He says, we may not have all come over in the same boat, but we're all in the same boat now, people. That's the bottom line. But I'll tell you, Vinny, one more final note on this. I know we're coming up on the end of the show. I want to implore everyone, tomorrow night, we are going to shake the pillars of the House of the Temple Supreme Council. We are going to expose these guys for what they are, operators in the lowest sense, working with all kinds of crazy stuff. We come to me, 8 p.m. Central Standard Time, AFR, guys, the middle chamber, hear from a whistleblower, insider.
And those of you who do not know exactly what 8 p.m. Eastern Times is, whatever time it is right now, if you're listening live right at this particular moment, about an hour from now, tomorrow, okay? An hour from now, tomorrow. So wherever you are, I think that's midnight in London. That is 11. Oh, no, no, sorry. It's actually 2 a.m. in London and 1 p.m. in Auckland, New Zealand. And I think that would also be, what, 4, 5 p.m. and 6 p.m. In Pacific time in L.A. there. So, yeah, tune in tomorrow, ladies and gentlemen, to Freighter X. This will be one of the most groundbreaking shows that the world has ever seen. I hope you're there. I will be. We'll see you again sometime, ladies and gentlemen.